This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Arsenal come out on top over Chelsea in a six-goal thriller at Stamford Bridge. Liverpool embarrass Manchester United for the second time this season with a 4-0 drubbing. Man City hold on to their spot at the top with a win over Brighton at the Etihad. Richarlison's late goal saves a point for Everton against Leicester City at Goodison Park, and Newcastle United just can't stop winning. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. Robbie Earle, let's start in London.
Yes, sir.
London derby, Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Yeah.
Chelsea 2, Arsenal 4. Very un-Chelsea-like performance, yeah. Rob, with mistakes, really blatant bad mistakes helping Arsenal along.
Yeah.
That being said, Arsenal played really well and deserved the 3 points.
Let's start with Arsenal just in terms of coming off a bad run. No Lacazette and Nketiah playing back as a striker. Young side with Smith Rowe in on the left-hand side, Odegaard, Saka. And you talked about a very fluid system at times. It was back three, back four times, five at the back when they had to. But I thought there was a maturity. I thought there was a took the opportunities when it came for Arsenal. And off the back of the form that we were in and the back of going to Chelsea, it's not an easy place to go, whatever the conditions, to come away with a 4-2 victory and almost resurrect their chances of fourth and open things up. Now they go to Manchester United at the weekend. I thought it was a really, really impressive performance. And you know, we're not going to do underappreciated today when you probably say Nketiah, Odegaard was excellent in midfield. Mm. Granit Xhaka in the middle of the park, Robbie Musto, I thought was everything you'd want from a mature, experienced midfielder. He calmed people down when he needed. He won the ball when there was no drama.
He didn't get sent off, is that
he didn't get, and he didn't get a red card. Yeah. Any game. But I just thought, you know, he's often somebody we've criticised or jumped on. I just thought, on a day like today, away at Chelsea, which is never easy, he deserves a little bit of credit.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think, particularly after reading a piece about him in the Players' Tribune, really great interview with Granit Xhaka explaining how he felt around that time where he thought he was leaving the football club. Yeah. Arteta, to be fair, always liked him, always wanted him to stay, and he ended up staying and got through a very difficult moment. And, yeah, he was very, very good. And back on the manager, Mikel Arteta, Rob, this was kind of impressive, you know, based on the last three losses. Still got important players out missing, Thomas Partey in midfield being one of those, Tierney the other one. And three changes, I think it was, different system, flexibility that, to be fair, you got to go back and watch that because there's a lot going on. And both managers talked about it. Both of them talked about in their post-match press conferences, like it was kind of taxing in terms of that side of things. Arteta, when you win the game, you come out on top. Really, really well done. And those young players will benefit from what it feels like to go on a winning run, what it feels like for that to stop. And then you're like, wow, where's the next win coming from? And to find a way through was really impressive. Eddie Nketiah, you know, just before the game, we're like, I'm not sure whether he's going to stay around, whether he's got the real quality to be a number nine at this club going into the future. I mean, he's given himself, you know, every chance to impress a manager and get a new contract. I mean, is it as simple as that, that he just wants to get a new deal and would he get one?
He wants a new deal, and if the new deal fits and is right for Arsenal, they should do it. But I still wouldn't stop me, Rob, going and buying a centre-forward. Yeah. Eddie Nketiah should be the backup, the playing in certain games, the playing in certain positions, the having some minutes and growing himself into an Arsenal centre-forward. Eddie Nketiah shouldn't have to carry the burden of scoring goals for an Arsenal team that are going to want to be challenging towards the top end of the table.
Do you think he can improve enough, learn enough?
Yeah.
You know,
he's in a good group. He's got his mate Saka, he's got Smith Rowe, he's got Odegaard, he's got young players who he can learn with, who he can grow together with, who look like they've got a real team spirit about them now. So if he's accepting that he's not going to play every week, Rob, he's going to have to learn his trade, and it might be 2-3 years down the road when he becomes Arsenal centre-forward. I don't think there's a better place for him to be learning his football. I mean, the places he's going to go and guarantee start are the places that are going to be the wrong end of the table.
Yeah, or the Championship.
Or the Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one for both sides of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he might say, you know
what?
What
would you do if you're Nketiah? With his ability, with your belief that you could score goals?
I would be tempted to continue at Arsenal, Rob, with the knowledge that if they bring a couple of players in and he's not going to look, they can take him out on loan.
Yeah.
Instead of dropping, leaving the club. Mm. I mean, if you're at a club like Arsenal, it's tough to leave.
Yeah, it feels like something's growing a little bit.
Yeah,
hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and to leave that right now is a permanent kind of move.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right move. Unless he feels himself that he can light it up in the Championship and score 20, 30
goals. And he may well be able to do that. He may be able to do that in a lower Premier League club, Rob. We don't know, but just of what you're seeing and the things that you see. Listen, a couple of great goals today. Well played. One was a lovely finish. The second, I thought, was just like proper striker's goal. Never gave up. Never gave up on a ball that was bouncing around, and he pokes it in, and well played.
Good character today from them. Good character, good spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that's a 3 points that, I mean, puts them level with Spurs now. Level games, level points. Tottenham have a better goal difference by 8 goals. I mean, it goes from one side to the other side, isn't it, in terms of who we think is going to finish in the top four?
I mean, it's a pundit's nightmare trying to say who's going to be.
Given that victory at Chelsea.
North London Derby could be it. Yeah. North London Derby could be a big decider.
May the 12th
could be a big decider. Who wins that game, depending on, you know, the run-ins for most. You can see all those teams, Rob, including United, losing a couple of games. You can see all those teams winning most games. They're just so inconsistent. That's why it's like, listen, flick a coin out your hat. I still probably just give Spurs the advantage. Mm. Maybe even just at home in the North London Derby. Mm. Let's change to Chelsea a little bit, Rob, because a couple of thoughts. I thought defensively they looked a little bit all over the place today. It was Reece James, Christensen and Saar started as the original back three. Thiago came on at half-time because he's made a mistake for the Nketiah first goal. Graham's a young player. We know his future is a little uncertain. I thought they missed Rudiger tonight. I thought Antonio Rudiger, who's got a bit of a groin strain in his head and has played many minutes and wasn't available. I mean, that could be a look into the future with no Rudiger around. Mm. He's a big personality. He's a big influence around the back of that defence.
But you can't play every game. And
no,
he's got a little.
No, not that he had the knock. I'm saying that
you
have a chance
him.
To lose him.
Yeah.
I'd be doing everything in my powers, Rob, to keep him at the football.
Totally. Yeah, couldn't agree
Absolutely
more.
Absolutely.
Brilliant,
him at the
brilliant defender.
Club.
He's had a massive season. Probably knowing that it's a good time to have a good season when, you know, you're going to get offered some different clubs. Yeah, really missed him today. I mean, Christensen, I mean, you can accept sometimes when one player makes a mistake like that in a game because there's plenty of time left.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to overcome that. But when more than one player makes mistakes, and Azpilicueta, the really poor pass when he tried to play out, it's another turnover that led to another Arsenal goal. And Tuchel afterwards was really, I think that's probably his upset and anger. We've seen him in a post-match interview, given, basically said, listen, we scored 2 goals, we gave them 2 goals. Like, he was really upset with it. And rightly so, that's not what we normally expect from Chelsea. All I would say, Rob, they've had a lot of big games, pressure games.
55th game of the season.
Yeah, and Real Madrid over the last few weeks is a massive game in the Champions League. They have an FA Cup semi-final at Wembley, which they get through really well. They've been playing really, really great. Is it just, and that's kind of my thought, just a bad day.
Yeah.
Game's caught up with him a little bit. They can't always play Thiago Silva. Yeah. I mean, he's an ageing player. They can't always start him.
Sometimes as well, there's the emotional side, Rob, that can drain you. Like, you get up, it's a big, you know, London Derby at Wembley.
It was Real Madrid, the Champions League.
Real Madrid
the last
weekend
few weeks.
Before. You know, it's been a tough to keep getting to that level week in, week out. Like you say, the manner of the defeat, I think, will upset Tuchel and giving goals away and not defending well, because that's something he prides himself on. A Tuchel team is well structured, hard to break down. You don't get many shots on target. All those kind of metrics that he loves weren't really there today. It was a very, as you say, un-Tuchel-like performance by Chelsea.
They're going to be okay for top four, Rob, aren't they? I mean, look at the table. They've still got a game to play over.
They'll be fine.
Spurs and Arsenal.
They'll clear their head. They'll have a lot of running now. They get to the FA Cup final, and they'll be good to go.
Of course, the other story, Rob. Yeah, we know what the other story
get
is.
To it.
Yeah, and Rob Lukaku got a rare start.
Big Rom. First start since February the 19th in the Premier League.
Right.
When he had the famous seven touches in a game against Crystal Palace.
And on the back of an interview a couple of days ago where Tuchel said, we'd like to have started Lukaku in the Cup semi-final at Wembley, but we don't think he's quite match sharp and ready to go, match fit. He did get the start today in the game, played up front with Timo Werner. Mason Mount, for the most part, was in behind them. Yeah. I mean, anything different, Rob? I mean, I wanted to see, because there's been talk about the manager saying, he just needs a spark, he needs something to happen to get him going again. Yeah. And I wanted to see whether Lukaku played, ran, tried as if he wanted to create that spark. Mm. And he makes the same runs in behind. You know, Lee Dixon, our commentary, I feel sympathises more with Lukaku. He's making the runs, they're not passing to him, which is a very valid argument that a lot of people have made.
Yeah.
But for me, and I'll ask you, shouldn't he find a way to be effective, Rob? Shouldn't he adapt his game? Well, it's not his fault, the fee, but a top-class modern-day striker's got to be able to be effective in different teams, haven't they?
You would think so. Listen, right now, Chelsea have a $135 million problem because the way he wants to play, the runs he makes, he's not getting the ball in those positions, and he's also starting to get frustrated with teammates and himself that the ball's not coming. Now, whether that's he's making bad runs and not getting the ball,
Or change the runs.
Or the players on the ball ain't playing to him. Remember, Thierry Henry, I interviewed Thierry during last year, and he said when Thierry went into Arsenal, he was a little bit throwing his arms, a little bit frustrated with service, and he went to see Arsene Wenger. And Arsene Wenger said to him, you've got to get onto the wavelength of the midfield players, not the midfield players go. So you've got to get the best out of them to get the ball. And Thierry said it was a mind changer. I started to make runs knowing where they pass the ball to rather than me making runs where I want to be and they couldn't get the ball to me. Mm. And I just get the sense that maybe Lukaku has to. At the moment, he's out of sync with most of the rest of the team.
Right. And let me follow up on that. If the rest of the team, obviously they're not playing these passes, but if the manager wants those passes to be made, he would stress to those guys, you've got to play in behind. I don't think Tuchel wants that longer ball in behind fullbacks or in behind defenders. Do you know what I mean? He's not.
Yeah,
he won't
I
change
understand.
The team tactics.
The whole team
to suit him.
Tactics just to suit one man. Now, the way that often happens, and I don't know, let's say a Vardy you might do with. Maybe Kane's an interesting example where it's okay if you're playing that way and you're continuing to get the goals and you're scoring 20, 25 goals playing that way and you're playing and the team changes a bit, but you're getting the goals. But at the moment, there's no guarantee that Romelu Lukaku is going to... He's got five goals all season, Rob. I think it's 20 appearances now in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, you can't change your whole team to a guy who you don't know is going to deliver you those goals. And the reason Romelu Lukaku was brought into this football club was to challenge late into the Champions League competition and to challenge for the Premier League title.
Yeah.
None of which has happened this season.
I looked at the numbers. They're on pace for last season, maybe a little bit more. Mm. So they're similar.
Yeah.
The whole point was to take that third, fourth,
next
to
level.
First or second
with
Lukaku.
Level,
and you know what? It's just, isn't it amazing how the game sometimes you, if there's one player that you would think would be a safe bet, he knows the league, he's experienced, he loves a football
it's
club.
It's a gamble, isn't it?
It's exactly what they need in terms of being different to the other sort of younger, creative types. He's very different. Mm. And it still hasn't worked out.
Like, every signing is a gamble.
Yeah.
And you don't know how they're going to fit. And you know, you get your Luis Diaz and your Dejan Kulusevskis who drop in and look like they've been there for years, and then you get others, Robert. Doesn't matter how much you pay, there's no guarantee. And it's going to be interesting between now and the end of the season, because does Tuchel continue, Rob, trying to get the spark, get him fitted?
No.
Or at some point does he...
Well, he's got FA Cup final. Yeah. maybe does continue a little bit. Kai Havertz comes on for Lukaku.
Yeah,
looks bright straight away, combines, makes a little run. I mean, he's obviously the preferred choice. It's just whether Thomas Tuchel will persist over the coming weeks, assuming that they're kind of secure in the top four, and say, okay, let's try and get him going.
For next season.
For next season.
Yeah.
Because... Maybe he wants some answers, Rob, from him. Maybe he wants some answers from Lukaku.
Either like, are you
up for this?
Yeah. Like, are you with
play
us?
You?
Yeah, are you with us or not?
So it's a big one, because with the ownership situation still being like not decided yet, that's going to probably go into May. Is there money available? Can they sell him? Yeah. They can't at the moment.
Yeah.
And in the window, until there's a new owner, they won't be able to sell him. So, wow. Still a problem.
But we'll keep an eye
well
on that.
Done,
bad
well
day
done,
for
Arsenal.
Chelsea,
well done, Arsenal.
End of the thing. Well done, Arsenal. Great performance at Stamford Bridge, and gives you a chance now back into that race for the top four.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Let's talk about Liverpool v Manchester United, one of the biggest rivalries in English football. Manchester United, one of the biggest disappointments in English football. Where do we start with this one? Let's start with Liverpool. I think... Graham was so labelled the Haaland Globetrotters, and you mentioned on air, and I think people have picked up that it was just stunning.
At that feel after about 10, 15 minutes or whatever after 20, like 2-0 up, flicks, tricks, Thiago's like doing all sorts of party stuff, and it was embarrassing at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was embarrassing in the first half.
For them, but again, let's continue with Liverpool and how good they were and some of the football they played.
Was stunning, was almost, I felt, it was no worry football. It was no worry. It was no interest in the
opposition. Swagger.
Whatever we want to do, we're going to play. We're going to knock balls around the corner. We're going to clip balls in here. We're going to play our 1-2s, and you aren't going to be anywhere near us. And it was humiliating. It was slightly embarrassing. It was an awkward watch, Rob. For Manchester United Football Club, and I'm not my new fan, but it was an awkward watch, wasn't it?
It's so hard to switch on to United. We're still sticking with Liverpool. We'll get to Man United now. I'll tell you what's interesting for Liverpool, Rob. Sadio Mane as a striker, as a number nine. Mm. And by the way, have we seen different iterations of Sadio Mane or what?
Yeah.
Like from one side to the other side, we've seen times where he hasn't done very well.
No.
Then he comes
back.
He was
the one who many
reinvented.
Thought would be missing out, wouldn't
he? With Luis Diaz coming in. Now. So, is Luis Diaz's signing livened him up? Because from 2022, Mane has been lights out, really, really great, either from the wide left or as a number nine.
Correct.
Is it as simple as that?
Well, I'll take you back to our days of playing, Rob. Somebody comes into a football club in your position, I'm telling you what, it livens you right up.
It does,
It makes your chain harder. You
does.
Start putting a little bit more in. Because this guy can take your place. And that's the reality of professional football that sometimes people don't understand. A guy comes in your position, it's about me and you now, and that's the dynamics, the chemistry of a dressing room. So, you know, you pop in Luis Diaz on the left, Sadio Mane's productivity goes through the roof. And
that nice for the manager?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was brilliant for the manager.
Beautiful.
Not only has he got more people to pick from,
but
the ones who are already
competition.
There.
Yeah.
Well, particularly for him. Mm. Mo Salah, you couldn't say, because he hasn't been in great form at a brilliant game in this one. But no, it goes back to what everybody's saying about Liverpool now with the squad. With the extra players they've got up front, Jota comes on, Firmino was out for this game, but five of them offer something
five,
a little different. And
there's
three from five, really, really good.
One more person I just want to mention on that. My little friend Thiago, Bobby Musto. I think he's 14 games now he's played, the undefeated, 13 wins and one draw when he started in the Premier League. He's a little genius, isn't he? He's a little creative football genius. He loves the ball. He's enjoying his football. He's joining the passes technically round the corners, the no-look passes. He makes you, as a team, he makes you exude confidence. Because he's like, come on, let's enjoy this. And he makes you play. We've always had, you know, we've all been around one of those who gets the ball and you enjoy giving it him and getting it back.
Well, wait a minute. I thought he was the one last season that was slowing down Liverpool in their midfield.
Supposedly.
Well, that was a little bit of the narrative last year.
To pick that up,
Liverpool didn't have a great season.
See his quality.
Now you're starting to see what he brings to the team. And when you've got Fabinho and Henderson's energy, Fabinho's defensive, you need that technicality. And it's exactly what they needed and what they're getting.
But I read a really good report. It was to do with the numbers. Like, he's unbeaten when he started in the Premier League. And he said, what he brings is a little bit of control to the madness. You know, when he used to be all intensity, didn't it? And playing at speed and winning. And he said he can just slow it down and keep it. But
it isn't just that. I don't think, and I agree with that. No. The pace, but he can bring the quality.
He can find the subtle little one in. Yeah.
Penetrative passes when others in there. It's really
with
super
Kendo
quick.
And
know what
and
I mean. He brings that little bit of class and quality that in certain games you need it. And I think that's what's impressive about it. Now we know there's other players that come in there. Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott. I mean, Naby Keita. Yeah. I mean, there's Oxlade Chamberlain. I mean, there's a lot of players. But that little balance and blend in midfield now with him. Is really, really great.
Yeah.
You know, we know. I mean, you go through the team, Rob, in terms of how a perfectly blended team, front three, check the box.
Yeah.
Midfield three, a really top class holding player.
Up there with the best.
Henderson, the leader, the captain, the prompter, the energy, the playmaker in Thiago. Some of the best fullbacks you're going to see anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere in Robertson and Trent. Virgil van Dijk, Man Mountain, one of the best players, and a goalkeeper that's, if you get past them, that's pretty outstanding. Mm. I mean, it's a formidable team that wiped the floor with Manchester United in, and we'll get to them now, Rob, in a game where I think people, you know, ex-pros and pundits and stuff, you know, we all have our own opinions, but sometimes you're going to hear a common theme when it screams at you. Yeah. And this game screamed the biggest gulf between Liverpool and Man United that we can ever remember, Rob, in a game where you couldn't see Man United just being able to compete, and it's exactly how it panned out.
And that's the biggest condemnation for Manchester United. Well, Ralf Rangnick, who's a very honest man, who probably sometimes spoke his mind a little bit too openly for some people at Manchester United, when he comes out and says, Rob, that the gulf between us means we're going to need a rebuild of 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 players, basically saying. And I remember I was in the studio, Rob, and before they came back to us to have our first thought on the game, I just looked through the Man United team, and I was kind of saying, who really is a Man United player here? Who? Bruno. Goalkeeper.
Not doing great, but he is, yeah. Goalkeeper, absolutely.
Goalkeeper, right. Bruno. Lindelof. He's a backup centre-back. He's a backup centre-back in addition to team. Two full-backs, not good enough.
Maguire, not good enough, really, Rob.
No. When we're talking about Manchester United rebuild, not good enough. Midfield players, not good. Pogba doesn't want to be there. You know, get rid. Matic has been a great pro, but
again, everyone that's leaving.
Yeah, he's leaving. You know, Elanga is a kid trying, maybe keep him around, but not good enough for where we are now. You know, Rashford started the game. I mean, I don't know what's happened to Marcus Rashford's confidence. He looks shot at the moment, absolutely shot. You haven't got the great man, obviously, through terrible news that happened to him. But, you know, Ronaldo, tick. I mean, I'm talking of 14, 15 players, Rob. 3, 4 max, who we're talking are at the level.
Well, it's stark. The game was stark, and it focuses in on the issues. And it's pretty obvious that the recruitment of this football club over the last few years, and to allow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to continue with the team, to be fair, he got in the second place in a very unusual season last year. Some of the others were really poor, but he got into second place. Yeah. But it's still, you know, from the start of this year, we're only going to Solskjaer manager, and now with the change, for him to come in, an experienced manager like Ralf Rangnick, to come and say it needs 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 players, I mean, that's so damning. Given they've spent $1 billion
since
2012, I think, Sir Alex was just kind of finishing, to get to a point where they need 10 players. That, I mean, it's...
Basically, everybody you've bought has not really been good enough.
Well, Bruno Fernandes was good. I mean, you spent the money on Maguire and Wan-Bissaka and...
Sancho.
Jadon Sancho for 100 million that hasn't shown flashes, but...
And I thought Sancho was an interesting one, Rob, because I was thinking again last night as you're looking, and I'm thinking, I feel a little bit sorry for Jadon Sancho, because I think we all know what his upside is and what he can be, and we've seen little glimpses of it. I talk again, and it's a big thing for mine about your culture. If Jadon Sancho goes into Liverpool, you see a different Jadon Sancho, Joe, than you do going in. If Luis Diaz goes into Man United, there's no consistency in the play, Rob. There's no set, relationships with fullbacks, with midfield players, with frontmen. It's like everything's all over. It's a young player coming in trying to make your name. Luis Diaz is coming, play left side. You got Robbo who comes on the outside.
It's easy coming into an established
team with this established way you're playing.
I still want to see more from Jadon.
Want to see more, and I think there is more to come. Mm. But it must be difficult going into this Manchester United team. I mean, you said something on air yesterday, and it made me. I went home again and made me laugh because you said, you know, listen, we can play at Manchester United levels, but I tell you what, if we were around it, we'd go in there. Do you know what I was unthought? We could have played that Manchester United team yesterday, by the way. We were two up and down midfield players who knew what our strengths were. Well, I'll get tied to somebody and stop and play. No, now I'll run up and down and at least affect the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, we'll continue the conversation, Rob, into Arsenal versus Manchester United. Coverage begins on Saturday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on USA. Another big game. I mean, it's like every match week or every midweek. It's big games.
Yeah.
Arsenal, again, we've just spoken about these two clubs. Yeah. We've watched them this midweek. Arsenal versus Manchester United. Is there a reaction for United, Rob? I don't know what it might look like. I don't know what the manager's going to do. I don't know who's going to play, what system he's going to play. Is there anything left in them?
If there isn't,
is there anything in their spirit or in their mentality to react? They care
because
about
because at least if you'd have got the kind of stick that they've got, if you'd have got people saying the kind of things you say, you would at least expect
They've had a lot of stick all season, haven't they?
Yeah, I know. And you wonder if it's beating them down, Robert. Are they those kind of players where it's a little bit too much? I would imagine right now, and I think I spoke yesterday, Harry Maguire must be having a miserable time of being captain of Manchester United. A miserable time of one of the best jobs in English football.
Do you think, like, given what we know about him and watched him and stuff, does he look like a captain to you or a Manchester United captain? And I'm not. It's not his fault. Big fee.
No, I'm not totally digging him out. But he doesn't, Rob. He doesn't. You know, there's too many interviews at the end of the season where David De Gea's coming out and talking, and I'm not quite sure why. He's captain of the club. Listen, things can't be going right. Sometimes that's why you give him the armband, not just to toss the coin and say which side you're going to kick. You have to go through some tough times and help the club and develop. I just feel it's a tough one for him. I almost feel like if they could somehow take it off him in the summer and give it to someone else, it might release him up a little bit.
Well, so Erik ten Hag, Rob, is they're talking the next few days being announced here.
Yeah.
Goes without saying how difficult a job's going to be. But let's back onto the game. Arsenal at home, the boost that's given them.
Great chance
today.
Great chance for 3 points.
It is, isn't it?
It's a great chance for three
Ronaldo,
points. I mean, Ronaldo
potentially could come back, depends how he is with his personal life.
Would lift the thing. I mean, just a quick note on that one, Rob, because I just want to go back. You just thought. I thought Liverpool's crowd yesterday for the minutes for Ronaldo.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Absolutely outstanding. Class act.
Yeah.
You know, in that huge rivalry, that one big guy is probably the one target you're going to usually, under normal circumstances.
A huge rival, and to sing You'll Never Walk Alone
with him was top draw.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Little class act. But yeah, listen, Ronaldo coming back lifts United. He isn't going to get weighed down and beaten down by all that thing. He's almost the opposite.
Right.
Now, if he can do that and it starts to go to one or two other players, can there be a bit of confidence? United have 90 minutes in them. I mean, I said before the game, I know you kind of think, I don't know what they have anymore. Yeah.
I tell you, when he first went in there, Ragnar, I thought it improved a little bit. Yeah. We spoke on the podcast. I just think over the last few weeks and months, really, he's given up, but he's got nowhere. He's made no impact, Rob. It hasn't worked out, Ralf Rangnick, in terms of interim manager.
That's the effect of this club now. It wears people down, Rob.
I don't know how much we should pull him out as well, the coach for this as well. Kind of a funny team, by the way, with the three at the back. You have Dalot Penn at left wing back. He's a right-footed player. I don't know. And it's difficult to know what's going on behind the scenes there in terms of the teams that he's picking. All I'm seeing and hearing now from Ralf Rangnick is more honesty.
Yeah,
he's coming to an end, and he's basically telling them what they need, and he's not afraid to tell everybody else. Yeah. For me, and I might be totally against what United fans are thinking, they could do a lot worse than having Ralf Rangnick
as part of that structure. Part of your football
structure.
He's
your director of football. Yeah. He's done it before.
Correct.
No, not as clubs the size of that. But he's restructured. He's hired the right people.
Couldn't agree
He's got
more.
The recruitment, the coaching as a match.
couldn't agree more.
But I doubt it's going to happen.
Ten Hag's first signing should be Ralf Rangnick. For a football club that's got very little football European world experience, why are you going to discard this guy or give him some minor role?
I don't know.
Let him be part of the building.
Couldn't agree more. Or Edwin van der Sar. Ajax CEO, involved in running that football club.
Yeah.
Of course, knows Erik ten Hag.
Together. Yeah, I like
tell
it.
You, which like. Would be a good fit. Again, this final thought really on this is, but I don't know whether Manchester United, Rob, want to give up that power of deciding the football side of it. It feels like Graham Arnold, maybe the ownership, the board, want to have John Murtagh, who's going in as director of football. Yeah. What I would say, again, triggered. They have fired two of their main scouts.
Jim Lawler and Marcel Bout, isn't it?
Who's the global scout and the head scout. So there is going to be a shake-up. And hallelujah, that needed to happen.
Oh, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see who fills those spots. But definitely Arsenal at the Emirates, I would say, would start favourites, Robert, kick off after that result today.
Absolutely.
And if they can get their 3 points against United, really puts them in a great place. Heading into that North London Derby coming up later on. I think it's next month.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Manchester City took their time, but got it done in the end. 0-0 at half-time against the Brighton team, who we both often talked about, are difficult opponents in the possession that they keep and the shape that they have.
Yeah.
Obviously score as many goals as they could, but made it difficult, got men behind the ball for City, and it took a while, but Riyad Mahrez, I think that's 23 goals in all competitions now this season for him. I mean, God, he's been so impressive, and not always played every game. But important goal for him to start, and then Foden gets one, and then they're flying.
The same guy's kind of doing the business for him,
regularly.
Really, Rob. Bernardo Silva scored.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne is involved in that. Mahrez, Phil Foden, big deflection for Foden's goal. They have to be a little patient. Teams sit back. Mm. But often happens, doesn't it? They find a way. 3-0 victory against a potentially awkward Brighton side now. Puts them back to the top by 1 point. I mean, it's so difficult. I mean, it's so good that both the teams are. They're so good. City have the 1 point advantage. Just looking real quick, we'll pick out a couple of fixtures in the remainers. Man City's toughest, it looks like, West Ham United away. But again, you can see City going there and dominating, and but maybe get caught in a
counter attack. West Ham is in Europe as well with the
Europa I think that
League.
Game is after the semi-finals of that, so I think it's
might
a bit more separated off. So
yeah.
West Ham would probably go at it.
Yeah.
But if they're looking forward to a final, are they going to be?
Yeah.
And for Liverpool, what have I got? Oh, Aston Villa away and Spurs at home.
Spurs at home is a toughie.
Yeah.
Because if Spurs do their thing, sit back and hit you on the counter, especially those wide positions with fullbacks, it could be a little bit dangerous.
It's just so difficult to see either team.
Can't see
up.
All of them losing. Can
they? Can both win the last.
And
six
based
games.
On that, City win it. And
by a
you
point.
Know, I went by a point. You know, I went City at the beginning of the season. I've stayed with City, non-striker, non-number nine. All the talks about Haaland coming in this week that deal at $500,000 a year for an out-and-out top goal scorer would take City to absolutely another level. Mm. But no, for me, City still just favourites despite Liverpool's
just
belief, energy,
so energy,
and the noise around Liverpool. I'm still going to go for City's football to find a way.
Yeah, and Pep's kind of intensity to make sure he keeps them at it. Because if there's any kind of... there has been City off days where they've looked a little sloppy. The Champions League, again, I know... Like the games around the Champions League is potentially where if there's going to be drop points, it's probably where it's going to happen. But again, no problem for City. 3-0 against Brighton. They continue. Other games, Rob, that happened today.
Yeah, Everton 1, Leicester 1.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard's Everton find a way later on through Richarlison. Stoppage time equaliser. that is, I think, a massive point, Rob. Well, considering the position with Burnley and what's going on at Burnley, and there's a four-point gap now between those two teams, that extra point could be...
It's two games, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not now one-game swing. It's got to be a two-game swing now, and with, seven or eight games, and Burnley play again tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah, play Southampton tomorrow.
They're 4 points behind Everton, and they play tomorrow.
Got to get something tomorrow. Absolutely got to get something. A point will be good, a three will be great, but a point just gives them back. Because remember, Everton play Liverpool at the weekend. So it's likely that Everton...
Yeah, they're not going to get anything there.
And so if Burnley can find something against Southampton, and then at the weekend they got Wolves at home on Sunday, Burnley, all of a sudden they could give themselves a chance.
But they got to do something different, and that's what we're all waiting for. No manager again.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I think we were all led to believe, or so it felt as though Dyche was gone, Mike Jackson was going to be in charge of one game against West Ham, then somebody would be in place for the Thursday game at Southampton.
So what is the point of firing him?
That there was something there's something that's either freed up. There's something that's different that's going to give him a better chance.
Ownership have decided.
I'm assuming, based on everything we know and the bits of things that are coming out, Rob.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Southampton, funny side.
Yeah.
Southampton are up for it.
Yeah.
Really difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult. If Southampton
beat six and
different,
then win.
There's different couple of modes with Southampton. Mm. We'll see tomorrow. But no, absolutely right. Burnley there. So another big game, of course, involving Everton. Liverpool versus Everton on Sunday.
Yeah.
11:30 a.m. I mean, Merseyside derby, you know. On Sunday, it's 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on USA Network this time. Is there any fight in Everton?
Everton will put a better fight up than Man United.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I think they're lively, they're a little bit more athletic, a little bit more, I wouldn't say basic in the way.
It's more desperation from Man United.
And it's a real derby that matters. But, you can't
see
beyond.
It's hard to see anybody.
Yeah. Can't see beyond a Liverpool win at Anfield against Everton.
Yeah.
And they're ruthless in the way they do it. There's good competition for places now. You talked about, strikers playing when they play. They've got to score. Salah will be looking for more goals. Really hard to see anything but a Liverpool win on that one.
So let's just finish up with Newcastle United storming the Premier League, my friend. They beat Crystal Palace 1-0.
Six straight home wins at St James Park. I mean, Edward Howe, take a bow, my friend.
Somebody said to me about, I've got to say, it's probably about 2 months ago. He said, you watch Newcastle now. You watch them. They're going to finish in the top half. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, they're almost there. They're 11th place 11. Right now in the league table. The tremendous. We were lucky enough to be there a couple of weeks ago on that Friday night against Wolves. They won the game. Didn't play amazing, but they've just got that little bit of habit, the winning habit. Almiron scores a beautiful goal with the left foot into the top corner. Takes his shirt off. Big celebration at St. James's Park. It's going. It's going.
You get a sense of what it could be and what it's looking for. And since the turn of the year, Rob, I think there's only top two teams have got more points than Newcastle United. Right. Incredible turnaround for Eddie Howe and his team. Well done as well, because, it's hard to build confidence in a team that's losing badly every week. And to do playing the football he's playing, doing it the way he's playing.
I think the fans want. It look great because the team's not that great.
Yeah.
But that's what they wanted, Newcastle. And they don't want to grind their way up.
Everybody sort of said, Eddie Howe, he's the first step, and then, they'll get on to the next manager. Eddie Howe might be around this football club a little longer than people think.
Yeah, I think the summer's going to be really interesting. Mm. Ivan Toney is rumoured for Newcastle target. Yeah. So maybe, it's going to be a steady increase in quality, which is a good idea. I think the fans want a bit more sexy signings than that. Yeah. But, it's worked so far with the Trippiers and your Dan Burns and your Chris Wood. Maybe add a little bit more to the squad. So, the summer transfer window, always interesting, but for Newcastle.
What about Neymar? Neymar on the tune.
No.
We all love one of them, wouldn't we? Neymar on the tune.
Mirandinha, remember him in Brazil, striking Newcastle? Yeah. Mirandinha.
Asprilla, they have had him up there, but...
Yeah.
Listen, great times ahead for you. Well done, anyhow. Listen, that's it for a midweek that turned out to be good time to be a Red, not a great time to be a Red Devil. And Chelsea got the Blues in the London Derby against Arsenal. We'll be back on Sunday, that's April the 24th, to take a look back at some big weekend's games. Arsenal hosting Manchester United in the Merseyside Derby from Anfield. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.